Boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it. What you're looking for? Ain't nobody going to help you out there. Jesus can come through that door and he's not going to help you if you don't stop sniffing after my child.
Okay. Stanley yelled at me today. That was one of the most frightening experiences of my life.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again after a preseason victory. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? Got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right, we're back. Episode 1 this week. Episode 2 coming at you maybe Wednesday, no later than Thursday. Like I mentioned in the previous episodes, you saw it last week. We did more of a football-focused one. Then we had Joe on. That was a fun episode. Going to do it again. I won't leak the guest, but you all know him. Weiss, how we doing?
Ethan, how are you?
Good.
I really like the Giants broadcasting team of Carl Banks and Bob Papa. So, like, I've been watching a lot of preseason football, and, you know, like, a lot of these announcers for these preseason games, for these teams, it's really bad.
Brutal.
It's really brutal. But I do like Bob Papa and Carl Banks. Like, they're not people that I want to mute.
Sure.
So, I was really happy that the NFL Network was broadcasting the Giants broadcast. Because last week, you know, it was the Patriots broadcasting.
Yeah, I had some confusion. Obviously, I'm in the New York area. You're not. Right. So, I mean, I had totally forgotten the game was on NBC, and I'm turning on NFL Network. I'm like, and even NFL Network was like, all right, we're going to bring you the Giants game. And then all of a sudden, it was like Browns and someone else. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
but got that figured out, and I had fun, man. I had a lot of fun watching this game. I got a lot of thoughts, obviously.
You do.
Oh, yeah, I do. Really, really enjoyed the second half. You know, it's against the third and the fourth stringers and a lot of guys who are not going to make the team. But, you know, listen, anytime your team can move the ball after years of not being able to move the ball, it's fun. And, yes. You know, I think that, you know, the Davis-Webb time in the second half and, you know, watching guys like Alex Backman ball out, it's fun, man. It's just a lot of fun. Stress-free, like I mentioned in our episode that we did with Joe. So where do you want to start with the preseason game?
I mean, we got to start with the injuries, right? I mean, just a really, really, I mean, just a disaster scare. I mean, I remember when Kayvon went down. I mean, I saw him go down, like I saw the hit live, and he went down, and I saw him grab his knee. And just like the room where I was watching the game, I was actually at my in-laws' house last night. I was watching the game there, and they have a good setup, you know. And I remember he went down, and the room just started spinning. Like 50 different, like 50 different things started going through my head. Like, you know, I'm a fan too, and it was just like, you know, you're bracing for the worst. But then you saw Kayvon
coming out of the tent, smiling, joking around. Yeah.
Right. And then it sort of calmed me down. But then, you know, later on we saw injuries to Darion Beavers, who it sucks, man, because I am a Darion Beavers guy.
Yeah.
And for him to go down with the ACL, and then, you know, obviously every time there's an injury on turf or at MetLife Stadium, there's always the talk of the turf. And I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's – I haven't looked at the history of grass versus turf and the injuries and all that. You know, so I'm not sitting here saying we need to go to grass. I don't know. But it's just weird because there's a lot of injuries happening on that MetLife turf. So I don't know if their turf quality sucks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's without spoiling it, it's certainly something we could ask our guest tomorrow when we record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I don't know off the top of my head – the statistics, grass, you know, odds of injury versus turf. But it does seem to be the consensus among not just fans, but even former players and commentators that the turf is certainly worse for ligaments and soft tissue injuries. And listen, you're talking to someone, I tore my meniscus playing on real shitty turf when I was playing soccer a few years ago. So
the thing was, remember a couple years back, the 49ers complained about the Giants turf. Remember when Nick Bosa went down with the ACL? So, I mean, it seems to be like a conversation around the league, not just with you know, fans, but you see teams talking about it too. Sure. So there is something wrong with the MetLife.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a, is that a landscaping issue? Is well, turf managed by landscapers?
I don't know. Let's just call it grounds crew.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I'm not a grounds crew guy, but something's off because these injuries are
Obscure reference, the Starsky and Hutch remake where Snoop Dogg is going through the different types of grasses on the golf court, and that's how he tricks exactly. Vince Vaughn's character into thinking he's actually a caddy. Okay. Done with the obscure movie references.
So they really got good news on Kayvon Thibodeau. It was bad. I was looking at the slow motion clip and like the way his knee bent, like that was really, really scary.
Yeah.
And for him to only be out 3 to 4 weeks, I think that's the best case scenario given.
Oh, absolutely.
The injury. So I don't know about week one. You know, if you do the math, you know, 3 weeks from now is week one. I mean, it's a 3 to 4 week injury. So maybe by week two, I know they won't rule him out. So that's good. Darren Beavers, it sucks, just like Marcus McKeon. Anytime these rookies go down, like we talked about it, like they're on these, you know, the late round draft pick contracts are not, you know, they're not millions. They're making like, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a year, and it's definitely more. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a lot for normal people like you and I.
Sure.
But compared to the rest of the league, like it's not a lot. So when they go down, it kind of sucks. I really hope Beavers and McKeon are able to recover. But these injuries are really piling up for the Giants. I think they had 21 guys not play yesterday. I mean, throughout the week they brought back Josh Reavis, the offensive lineman who they cut, and then they had to bring back just because. They're so beat up on the offensive line, and it sucks, but that's part of it. You know, injuries are part of it.
Yeah, and this sort of plays into my general take of the season being a bit more relaxed, but it's sort of the opposite. And what I mean by that is in previous years, like the last few years, you lose guys to injury. You lose these late-round picks to injuries. And when you're not in love with the management, you're not in love with the coaching staff, it's sort of like, you know, it's not a whatever because you never want to see someone go down with an injury. It hurts. It sucks. It's their livelihood. But as it pertains to the overall makeup of the team, you know, it's not the end of the world, right? But when you have a new regime and a new coaching staff and guys that are playing really well, it just hurts a little bit more when you watch a guy who was playing as well as Darian Beavers go down because in a season that is very much just about the future and learning what you have on the roster, you want to see these guys out there. You want to see them compete because if you're getting drafted by Joe Shane and his team, you know, you have a place on this team, whether it's special teams or you develop into something more. It just sucks that you're going to have two guys lose a full season of the first year of a new regime when everyone is really excited about not just the regime, but watching the players drafted by the regime play. So, you know, it's not that it doesn't suck in the past, it obviously sucks, but stings a little bit more when you see these guys go down in the first year of a quote-unquote experimental season.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. The injuries are terrible. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the play of Daniel Jones, I think.
Let's talk about all the quarterbacks because...
Okay.
Yeah. Let's start with DJ.
Daniel Jones. I thought he was fine. Look, I think there's an over... You know, everyone is... really put Daniel Jones under a microscope regardless how you feel about him. Everybody's just trying to, it's almost like a tug of war, you know, after every play, everyone's just like, you know, when I say everyone, I mean, fans are like, I told you so. And then a bad play happens like, no, I told you so. And it's just like a big back and forth war going on. I see it. Nothing in the preseason about Daniel Jones is going to sway me one way or the other. At the end of the day, it's all about the regular season. But if you're asking me how I thought he played in the preseason game, I thought, he was fine. I mean, he made, you know, there wasn't not a lot of throws that was like, wow. I think the one Daniel Bellinger thing, and I do want to talk about the tight end situation sure. for a second later, but I thought that was a good throw. I thought the ball placement, I went back and watched it, and I was like,
okay, no, that was a good throw.
That was a good throw. He put the ball, like if you watch the play, he put the ball in an area where only Daniel Bellinger can get it. It was a little bit up high, but that's because it had to be. If he hit him in the chest, there's a good chance that ball is either knocked down or intercepted. So he put the ball where only Bellinger could get it, and I thought Bellinger should have got it, but didn't. So I don't put that interception on him. I mean, 14 for 16, 116. Really a clean stat line. Got that touchdown drive, which it's not a big deal, but it's sort of like I want to see the first team get a touchdown drive against the Bengals second team, you know, just so it makes you feel good. And I know the Giants weren't really having their full first team out there. I mean, their skill position players are all beat up, and then, you know, Saquon Barkley didn't play. But I think, you know, Antonio Williams, I think he looks very comfortable. And I think a lot of that's because of his experience in this offense. Mm-hmm. And that really gives him a head start on this RB2 competition, and given the fact that Matt Breida is dealing with injury, I think he sort of separated himself from Gary Brightwell and Joshua Corbin, or Jashaun Corbin.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah. Agreed. For me, I mean, everyone's well aware of my thoughts on Daniel Jones. No surprise. Again, like you said it, right? There's nothing that he's going to do in the preseason that's going to change my mind or anyone else's mind, no matter what side of the debate that you're on, even though it shouldn't be much of a debate based on what we've seen so far and what the fact that they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. To me, I feel like a large part of the fan base is afraid to be brutally honest. I think a lot of people will treat him with baby gloves where... You know, I watched yesterday, I rewatched every single one of his completions yesterday. He had one really nice throw to Sills. I think it was like a back shoulder.
And, oh, yeah. Right? You're right. Yes.
And then he had one that was a good throw. It was, he had pressure in his face again to Sills, right? Those were two throws that were good that a majority of NFL quarterbacks make. And outside of that, the interception that was caused by Bellinger... We just agreed, right? That was a good throw. The other throw to Colin Johnson, you're playing a first-team defense, that's getting picked off. So in my mind, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, the interception went right off of Bellinger's hands. It's Evan Engram 2.0. Yeah, okay, I get it. But, you know, that other throw is picked off by a majority of defensive backs that are starting in the NFL. So, again, was not overly impressed by Daniel Jones. I do like the offense. Really, really, really like Antonio Williams. Huge fan of Antonio Williams' game. I think he should lock down RB2 without a doubt. One guy who left me scratching my head yesterday was Tyrod Taylor. Holy shit, was Tyrod Taylor bad yesterday. And again, you know, journeyman quarterback, backup. We spoke about this last week. There's no quarterback competition. It's Daniel Jones unless there is an injury or unless there's something really bad that happens. Tyrod Taylor was...
Is there a quarterback 2 competition?
Hey, listen, if Davis Webb's not the new Alex Tanney, future offensive whatever coach, you know, whatever. But Tyrod Taylor yesterday was awful. Awful.
You know what I was thinking about last night watching Davis Webb? Or it was really after the game. Could you imagine if Davis Webb was drafted by this regime this past offseason? Like, let's say it was like a 5th-round pick.
Sure.
And he had 2 of these, you know, game-winning drives in the preseason. There'll be a lot of people talking about Davis Webb potentially
quarterback 2. Hey, you're absolutely right.
No, I'm talking replacing Daniel Jones. Like, oh, we saw after last week, people were like, Tyrod Taylor needs to start, and it's funny. But my thing is like, could you, like, if Davis Webb was a 5th-round pick this past offseason, and he's played pretty well in the preseason, albeit against, you know,
it's been, there would be calls for it.
But it's exciting. I mean, I really like preseason football. I am a fan of it because it's fun. I mean, you see guys playing their hardest. And look, a lot of them are not going to be on the NFL rosters, but I am a fan of preseason football. Quarterback. So I thought overall fine. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor didn't look good. But again, with the quarterback situation, all those questions, all these feelings, it's all going to culminate during the regular season.
Sure.
Preseason, you're just like, okay. None of these guys get hurt. Nobody get hurt, but you don't want to see these quarterbacks get hurt. The offensive line. I actually went back and watched before this podcast the first quarter offensive plays. Andrew Thomas.
Animal.
I mean, I'm almost there. Like,
and again, we're talking about a guy who I think last year showed that he was a no doubt, you know, top 10 left tackle in the league. The fact that he's out there dominating against the second team defense shouldn't come as a surprise, but it's of course nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, he is. It's not just that he's dominating, like the way he blocks, his protection skills, like his stance, how he uses his hands, his footwork. It's beautiful, man. Like, I never watched offensive line play like that. But when you watch him, he's just like a... It's like everything is textbook with him. And maybe it's because I've never seen, you know, a Giants left tackle be this good. Like, I think he's really, like... But it's a beautiful sight to see. And just seeing him sort of become, I think he's sort of entering that, he's not in the room yet, but he's sort of knocking on the door of like an elite tackle. It's beautiful, man. It is beautiful.
He's a guy that in 2 to 3 years, when the Giants are hopefully good again, will be the talk of the league.
We'll get the respect he deserves. Yeah, I think so. As soon as the Giants become a good team, people will give respect to Andrew Thomas. Evan Neal, much better than the first game. He's a very, very good run blocker. The Giants are always going to run behind him a lot. Very good run blocker. Pass protection lunges forward a little bit, and I think that's sort of gives him a disadvantage. You don't like your tackles to lunge forward. That's what someone who watches or, you know, trains with offense, you know, somebody that trains linemen a lot told me, you don't like to see linemen lunge forward like that in pass protection. But he looked a lot better, looks a lot more comfortable. Sometimes you can see a guy when he's going through his reps, he looks more comfortable, and I think that's important. Interior of the offensive line, I think the Giants might have something with DeVry Hamilton, I think his mm-hmm. name is, number 62. Very good swing tackle, can also go inside. I think he started at left guard yesterday for the Giants. Think they might have something there. They're dealing with a lot of injuries like that. And then nobody really talks about him because he's just sort of there. But Mark Lewinsky...
That's a perfect description. He's just there.
One of the things that I wanted Joe Shane to do when he got here was to bring stability to the offensive line. Look, I knew... Obviously, they didn't have the money to go and try to, you know, get a Brandon Sheriff or somebody like that or pay big money for an offensive lineman. But I really wanted him to bring some sort of stability to the interior of the offensive line. And Glowinski is perfect. He's not a Pro Bowl caliber guard. He's just a really good guard, you know, that can come in, put his head down, go to work. And I think that's exactly what he's been in the preseason. Played a lot yesterday, actually, too. I think I saw him sort of late in the second quarter, too, when a lot of the first team was not in the game. So, really solid performance. I think him and Evan Neal together on the right side really bring a lot of stability. It's that left guard spot and the center spots that are really concerning to me because of the injuries.
Sure. No, agreed all around. I think we saw some very good offensive line play yesterday. A lot of clean pockets. And it's not going to be as much of a disaster as it has in years past.
No.
Wide receivers. Kenny Golladay had 21 snaps and zero receptions.
Not in my eyes.
Not in your eyes. Is Kenny Golladay wearing number 15 for you? Is that what's going on in those glasses of yours?
Look, I'm trying to really, really, really not think about Kenny Golladay. But there was an interesting comment from Brian Daboll today, that really, one of those comments that, you know, whoa, wow.
Is that I think I know what you're referring to. Yeah. Do you have it pulled up?
Yeah, I got it. So he said, I was during the press conference, yep. I guess he was asked about the young receivers, and he said, Colin Johnson, David Sills, they've stepped their game up. I mean, they're right in the mix, not just to make a team, but to play.
Yeah.
So... that doesn't seem like just a typical coach line. That sounds like a guy that sounds like an honest remark by a coach. And that means Colin Johnson, David Sills, if you're someone that doesn't think – Sills mainly doesn't think he's going to make the roster, well, think again, because he might not – he might just be a lock for the roster. I mean, he could pay significant snaps. It makes you wonder what's going on with Kenny Golladay.
I mean, not just Kenny Golladay. I had a friend ask who hasn't really paid that much attention to the Giants over the last 7-8 years. And he said, regarding Alex Bachman, he goes, does this guy have a real shot to make the roster? And I want to say undoubtedly yes. But
absolutely has a chance.
He absolutely has a chance. But you have to look at, right, how many wide receivers they're going to carry. Then you have two guys who are here because they have to be here in Galladay and Shep. Then you have two other guys who have to be here because of where they were drafted in Tony and Wandale. And that's four spots gone automatically. And on top of that, you've had Sills.
Well, if Shep goes on PUP, which that's likely going to happen, then you have one roster spot open.
But you still have Sills, Johnson, Bachman, lesser so Board. But that's like three other guys who are very deserving of a roster spot.
And Keelan Doss. Doss has been looked. Yeah, I mean, I know this offense is not going to be the tight end play is not going to be, you know, as like they're going to be a lot of three wide receiver sets, you know. So maybe they carry one less tight end for a receiver. I don't know how that's going to play out. But yeah, I mean, I think, look, you got Tony, you got Galladay, and you got Wandale Robinson, who are locks. You got Sterling Shepard going on the PUP. So if you carry six receivers, well, then you got three spots, and you got Alex Bachman, David Sills, Colin Johnson, Keelan Doss. Which one is the odd man out there? Right?
Yeah.
Well, then you go to special teams, right? Well, which one of these guys, you know, is performing on special teams or can play special teams? And then I forgot to mention CJ Board, too, who got injured last night, too. So, really, it might be a numbers game, but I think Bachman ran some good routes yesterday.
Dude, he looked good.
Yeah, he ran some great
Victor
routes.
Cruz vibes.
And the thing is, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's he's going against the third team. But there's three things that are, like, to me, it doesn't matter what you do it against. Your route running for a receiver, ball placement for a quarterback, and hitting the hole for a running back. To me, those three things, if you can do it well, I don't chalk it up as, well, you're playing against the third string. Like, if a quarterback's ball placement is there, it doesn't matter to me if it's third string or second string, whatever. So with Bachman, his route running, very good route runner. It looks like he has a very strong route tree. He can run a lot of routes.
Well, and you know what? You know what we learned today is, guess who he trained with this past offseason?
Who? Victor Cruz?
No. Although that would be perfect.
Give me a hint.
Cole Beasley.
There you go.
Very well equipped in the Buffalo Bills offensive scheme.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, I was watching some of the highlights last night after the game, and their highlights. Runs very good routes, man. Runs very good routes. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see how these. Oh, we also forgot about Richie James too. So you got like five receivers going for three spots. I don't know. I mean, I'm this third preseason game is going to be interesting to see how the Giants approach this. Can we talk about the tight ends real quick?
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. So yesterday I put out a tweet. So yesterday before the game, I was watching, not watching, I was reading up a lot on the training camp notes from the beat writers, and they were talking a lot about, you know, specifically looking at the tight end because I thought the tight ends is one thing I was going to watch for during the preseason game. You know, all these preseason games, I like to look at certain things, and during this one, I wanted to really watch the tight end, specifically Daniel Bellinger. So, I looked up a lot of the thoughts on him throughout the training camp, particularly the last, 2 weeks, the more recent stuff. And a lot of it was, you know, he looks, you know, he's not standing out. He also isn't making mistakes. You know, he's just – and I really come – you know, my opinion is that for a rookie tight end, fourth round pick coming from a school that, you know, was a run heavy offense, didn't really throw the ball a lot. To ask him to be your tight end one, it's almost an impossible task. And you know, I put that out. I said, look, I think the guy that's going to take the majority, you know, be the tight end one for the majority of the season, I don't think he's in the building. You know, I think, and a lot of people thought that, you know, that was taking a shot at Bellinger,
including some family members.
including some family members. But I wasn't. It's not a shot at Bellinger. Look, I hope Daniel Bellinger works out. I mean, he was a fourth round pick. Maybe one day he is the reliable Giants tight end. I'm all for it. And if it's in year one, awesome. But it's just an unrealistic task. And it's so unrealistic, I want to just put it in perspective. Travis Kelce was a non-factor year one for the Chiefs. Gronk, I think, had under 400 yards receiving in his first season. I mean, these are two Hall of Fame tight ends, right? Tony Gonzalez, you know, had like, I think it was under 400 yards receiving and only two touchdowns. So, like, these are Hall of Fame tight ends, like maybe one, two, and three, or however you rank your all-time tight ends. But these are three all-time great tight ends who are basically non-factors in the preseason. Now, I don't know about you.
In their first season.
In their first season, yeah. So I don't know about you, but I'm not looking at Daniel Bellinger as one of those guys. Would love it if he is the next Travis Kelce or Rob Gronk, but he's not that. So, look, I understand rookies need to get snaps, but I think it's an impossible task to ask a rookie fourth-round pick to be your tight end one. That's why I think the Giants will be aggressive in the waiver wire, I think, for a tight end, a veteran tight end. I'm surprised they haven't brought one in now.
That's what I was going to say. I'm surprised they haven't. I mean, Jordan Akins was getting, like, fourth-quarter snaps yesterday. So,
I mean, Andre Miller is a receiver from the University of Maine that converted to a tight end, and he was getting first-team reps.
Yeah.
I mean, it just tells you where they are at the tight end spot. So, look, I'm not taking a shot at Bellinger. One day, hopefully, he can be a good player in this league for the Giants. I just think it's an impossible task right now. And you saw yesterday, you know, with the tip pass, and I don't want to just beat on the guy, but, you know, you need somebody more reliable there. You need a veteran there. And I don't think it's fair to ask this rookie fourth round pick to step in and be your tight end one in his first year.
Sure, I think that's fair. What else? And we haven't really touched on the defense too much. The Aaron Robinson continues to be my biggest concern at the moment. I don't think I've seen him turn his head around once when someone's targeting him.
You know what's the crazy thing? I think that defensively, Adoree Jackson might never get a ball thrown his way.
Well, I think that says way more about the rest of the DBs than it does about Adoree Jackson.
I think Adoree Jackson, the ball thrown his way one time the last 2 weeks, and that was yesterday. Man, oh man, Aaron Robinson, it's going to be a problem all season for the Giants. Again, when we did our sort of training camp episode, we talked about how there's a lot of guys on this roster that are either rookies or second-year guys trying to find footing in this league. Aaron Robinson fits right into there. You just don't know. You don't know, and you know how he can fare outside. I remember when he was drafted, the talk was slot, slot, slot. Well, now he's asked to play outside, and like you said, man, he can't turn his head around. So it's going to be tough, man. That defense is going to have challenges, not just with Aaron Robinson, but behind him, there's not. You know, Darnay Holmes has had a good camp, but it's tough, man. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, Wink's going to have to work some magic.
Yeah. He's going to have to work some magic. A couple other things I really liked. We talk about corners. Darren Evans had a good game. One thing about these giant corners, I realized, maybe it's just what Wink likes, very tall guys. Tall, long, physical. I mean, I guess that's what you need when you're playing man a lot. So I thought Darren Evans had a good game. DJ Davidson showed some flashes. He got hurt but then came back in. Tomon Fox.
See that? Oh, yeah.
End of the game. That was a monster. And I saw a video of his parents reacting.
Sam, I saw that. That was awesome.
You saw that? That was good. So, defense.
Real interesting formation, by the way. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people commenting. It looked like he almost came out from the sidelines. But that's what you got to do. Keep the ball in the middle of the field.
I want to ask you a question. Did you think that hit on Thibodeau was a dirty play?
Ooh. I'm going to answer this with like a non-answer. It's clearly not illegal, but I don't think that because something is not illegal doesn't mean that it can't be dirty.
That's that baseball in you with these unwritten
rules. Well, I fucking hate the baseball unwritten rules, but that's a fair call out on me. Yeah. So I struggle with it, right? Like, I think it's unnecessary. But again, you have to think of a guy like Thaddeus Moss who... I assume...
Randy Moss's son, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of him at LSU. He's a fucking beast. But he's a guy who was a late-round pick who's, you know, trying to fight for a roster spot.
He was actually undrafted.
For some reason, I thought he was like 6th or 7th round. But undrafted, fighting for a roster spot. You know, he's going to go hard every single play, especially if he's going against Kayvon Thibodeau, who's the 5th overall pick. So, listen, I don't think you should do it, but this is what happens when the NFL prioritizes, or sorry, deprioritizes the helmet-to-helmet contact. They don't want guys going high for good reason.
Right.
But the result of that is going to be guys going low, and people are going to get ankles taken out and knees taken out. So I don't know what the answer is. Was it dirty? Probably a little bit. But, you know, I'm not as outraged as some other people seem to be. Maybe because it wasn't a torn ACL and he's only going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. But I don't really know how to feel about it. It's sort of a gray area.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I've read a lot of opinions of former players commenting on the situation. I think the way I look at it is, given the environment, a preseason game, I would say it was a very reckless play. But at no point when I'm looking at that play am I like, this is completely dirty. Why wasn't there a flag?
Yeah.
Because I've seen this play happen before. So I just thought it was reckless given the environment. It's a preseason game. But I can't sit here and say it was a dirty play. Was scared for a while there.
We all were.
But
you know, at the same time though, if you're the Bengals coaching staff and Thaddeus Moss eases up and doesn't make the hit or try to block, like what do you say to him on the sideline?
Well, I think the defense for people that are saying it was a dirty play was that, and I don't know how Thad Moss is supposed to know that, is because Thibodeau wasn't. He sort of slowed.
He
down.
He did, yeah, stopped. But. Yeah. It's a bang bang play. It's tough, man. I don't know how to feel.
The best
about it.
Way my stance is it was a reckless play given the environment. That's where I am.
Sure, but then again, my counter is what if you ease up as a player trying to make the roster? Right. What does your coach say to you on the sideline?
That's fair. Special teams. I'm worried about special teams. Do you know any good special team coaches?
The Giants don't.
I think I know one guy. He's in New England.
Name rhymes with Schmo Schmudge.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he can, you know, be our special. I mean, special teams is a problem. It is. Look, I'm concerned about, you know, especially the kick coverage. Actually, only the kick coverage. Yeah.
Whew. A few more weeks to work out the kinks.
I hope Graham Gano can just kick it out of the end zone every time.
Yeah.
Because every time a return happens, I expect the returner to go at least to the 35.
Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah. So that's all I got on this preseason game.
Yeah, me too.
I told you how much I love preseason, right?
A lot.
I do. I love the preseason. Yeah.
Okay. Should we wrap up?
Wrap us up.
All right, we'll be back later this week with a guest. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Talk to you in a few days.
Peace.